Welcome to episode 11 of Social Anxiety Life. And in this episode, we're going to explore the similarities, differences and links between social anxiety, autism and introversion. Before we get into the discussion, we'd like to give a huge shout out to Feedspot, who featured our podcast in their top 35 best UK anxiety podcasts. So a real big thank you to them.
Absolutely. And we are approaching a significant milestone. We're currently at 900 listens for our podcast. We would love to hit 1,000. So please keep sharing our podcast via your socials to people that you think might benefit or enjoy our podcast.
I think it's useful for this discussion to think about the definitions we want to use for social anxiety, introversion and autism.
Absolutely. So we talk a lot about social anxiety. That's kind of what our podcast is about. Social anxiety is when you have very strong, significant feelings of maybe fear, worry, apprehension about a social situation, or even just thinking about certain social situations can generate those kinds of feelings. And when we talk about introversion, we're talking about the ways that you get your energy. So a lot of times when we talk about introversion, it's about people who don't necessarily get their energy from others, but get it from within. Maybe introverts need more alone time. They need time to recharge.
Now, with autism, it's a very broad spectrum and it could be characterized by a different style of social communication. It's a neurodevelopmental disorder, or I prefer maybe to use the word condition. There are also repetitive behaviours or interests that autism shows, evidenced by maybe stimming, which is self-soothing behaviour, routine, special interests, or hyperactivity or underactivity to stimuli. So these three things, they have similarities and differences, and I think what comes across first of all is that two of those are things that can be diagnosed, whilst one of them is more a sort of trait, I think.
Yeah, personality trait maybe.
And it's interesting looking at research on the internet. There appears to be quite a lot of things on there that link social anxiety and autism together, and social anxiety and introversion together. But there's very little I can see that links the three together.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, with us, because I think we have different experiences of these things, and I think I personally have elements of all three of them together. I think back to a few years ago where I would have said introverted is probably the right one.
Yeah.
With social anxiety. But I would say more recently there are autistic traits that have come to the fore. And I'm just thinking of something like eye contact. Mm-hmm. I think if you have social anxiety, you can potentially make fleeting eye contact within a social event that you're at with people that identify or self-identify or diagnose as autistic. They struggle or maybe slower to make eye contact or just avoid it.
Yeah.
In general. Now, I think social anxiety could be a part of autism, but it could quite easily be a part of being introverted.
Yeah,
absolutely. As well.
Yeah, I personally sort of relate more to the introvert side of things, the social anxiety with being more introverted. I've never sort of identified myself as being on the spectrum. So a lot of my social anxiety, I think, comes more from being introverted.
It's interesting because there's a poll that we put out on Instagram, and to gauge what people were feeling, and more people thought that there was a link between social anxiety and autism than there was with social anxiety and being introverted. And one of our listeners actually got in touch with us via social media, and they talk quite openly about their links between social anxiety and being introverted. This person is very chatty on social media. So this person uses social media as their forum for their voice, yeah, as it were. But actually in their life away from social media, they present as very introverted. Their partner happens to be quite extroverted. And I think I found that in the past, that there are extroverted people that I know and I get on really well with them, and there does appear to be quite almost a mismatch or an opposite in the fact that I know people who are quite loud whilst I'm not so loud,
yeah,
but that doesn't mean I'm not comfortable with them. And this person also says that with the addition of the social event involving a couple of drinks, as it were, yeah, they get a little bit more chatty, and that then creates a sense of confusion or sense of the other people don't quite know who they are.
Right. Okay.
And part of me resonates with that, because within social events that I've been to, I can get quite chatty, but that sort of happened as the time has progressed.
Yeah.
And I don't quite know why that is. I don't know if it's just feeling more comfortable, mm-hmm, but a feature of autism is you're masking your behaviours to fit in with the neurotypical,
right,
way of acting. So, for example, I've had things where I've gone to them, I've almost scripted in my head what I'm going to say. I know the topics that I feel comfortable with, and I know what I'm going to say if they come up, but you can't predict what things are going to come up.
Yeah.
So it's almost I rely on things that I've heard other people say, and I think, yep, that looks good. They're quite happy talking away. They're quite happy expressing their opinion on that. They're fully engaged in the small talk. And it's almost you try and copy it, which is, it's almost giving routine and security to it. But I don't think that's the same as being introverted.
No. When I think of being introverted, and when I've read about introversion, there's a couple things that I really resonated with. So one of the things is about needing alone time and also needing to recharge. And that's something I experience a lot in social situations, is it's almost like my social battery is being drained, and I get to a point where I just have no energy left to give, and I feel so tired, and it is almost a thing of I need to recharge because this social event has sort of drained all my energy because I've put so much effort into it, even though you might not be able to look at me and think that's what's going on. And there's also, it talks about, you know, how it's a social event can create anxiety. But also sometimes if it doesn't create anxiety, if you are an introvert, there's just this awareness that you have that I'm going to this social event and I'm going to need to sort of be on. I'm going to need to give my best. I'm going to need to talk and be, you know, friendly and chatty and all these things. And just the knowledge that I'm going to have to do that can be quite overwhelming.
And actually, that we've touched on this before, the day after that happens, you're exhausted.
Oh, completely.
And it links with autism. There's this phrase called autistic burnout,
mm-hmm,
is that you've spent the social event masking your true self, as it were. You've been trying to fit in with the what you're observing with people who are neurotypical.
Yeah.
And the next day, you're absolutely shattered because you're in that, you've put yourself, because ultimately it's your decision to go to the social event. And it's exhausting. And there's that phrase, autistic burnout. You're tired of doing all of those things. And I think there is crossover between social anxiety and autism. However, another one of our listeners messaged in, who's quite happy to be named.
Oh, lovely.
It's actually my really good friend, Samantha.
Hi, Samantha.
And she puts across a very interesting point that she feels that there's almost a link between all three of them, because she feels that the autism drives her introvertedness. And when she's at social events, maybe, I think, she's saying that the energy and comfort from those social events, it comes from herself. So when she feels comfortable or uncomfortable or overwhelmed or however she's feeling, it's coming across as she can get hypersensitive in certain situations. And she also says something which I resonate with a lot. She picks up on how other people, or how she perceives other people are feeling towards her. It's a very acute feeling that she gets. And that links back to something that we've talked about quite a lot, the overthinking.
Yeah.
You've gone to the social event or whatever it is. I don't want to limit it just to social events, but it's that feeling of what you're thinking that the other person is thinking. It's how you're presenting yourself towards the other people. Are you presenting yourself in the right way? Are you presenting yourself, almost want to say, appropriately? And you're having difficulty reading the neurotypical social cues. And actually something happened today which backs that up. I went out for lunch today.
Yeah.
And I went to a new place. I've been past this place before, so I thought I'm going to go in there. And a lovely lunch, quite happy, I had my headphones on. And then it came to paying the bill at the end. Now, I wasn't sure how to pay for the bill. I assumed correctly, is that you go up to the counter. So I went up to the counter and the person behind the counter started making small talk about how was your lunch, how was the drink, because they persuaded me to have something different in my latte. Latte, do you have normal, like, so-called normal milk? She said, oh, do you fancy like this coconut milk we've got? So I've had that.
Yeah.
But I'd paid for it. And then I was expecting maybe something after to say, oh, goodbye, have a nice day. But they didn't say that. They were writing on the receipt.
Right.
So I was thinking, what do I say? Is she waiting for me to say something? Mm-hmm. And I sort of turned to start walking out. But before I started walking, she said, thank you, have a nice day. So there was a little bit of anxiety there because I didn't pick up on her cue.
Mm-hmm.
But her cue was, I was trying to look for some kind of sort of facial eye contact, something like that. And I didn't get it because she was busy writing my table number or like clearing up the receipt, as it were, because I paid on my card. So I found it difficult to read the cue. Uh-huh. But by the time I'd walked out, I was like, okay, I've paid for it. And now it's all okay, but it was just a bit odd.
So would you, like, looking back on that experience today, would you say that was your social anxiety linking to your autism or your sort of traits of autism? Or would you say that's more linked to introverted, or do you just feel it's all kind of mixed together?
I mean, the social anxiety was the actual talking to the person in the first place.
Yeah.
But I've done it before, so that was fine. The introvertedness was the alone time in the actual place itself. Yes, there was sensory stuff in the background. It looked beautiful.
Yeah.
It was really nice, and like there was nice, you know, all the like the sight, the smell, and everything was great. But that sort of bit at the end was, I think, difficulty reading the neurotypical cues. That's part of autism, I mm-hmm. think. And that's where I found it difficult to fully, you know, fully follow what she was doing. But she was, there was no non-verbal cue I could pick up on at the time. And if I link it back to sort of social events, when I was talking earlier about masking through things, it's almost the judgment of other people becomes our norm or some kind of loop for us. If we make a mistake, or if there's a criticism, or there's a judgment, we almost update our own sort of internal rule book.
Yes. Yeah.
And for people who don't have social anxiety, it's really hard to explain to somebody else who doesn't have it what we go through in those moments, because those moments are very fleeting.
Yeah.
But the impact on them, I could be thinking about that the day after.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Or I could be thinking, oh, what's that person thinking now? Or I don't want to see that person again in case I do that. But social anxiety, I think, is a part of autism. And a suggestion that if you're diagnosed with social anxiety, you should automatically get an autistic or autism assessment to go with it because of the link between it. And there's a lot of crossover, I think, between elements of autism and the introvertedness and social anxiety, but it comes across in different ways.
Yeah.
I think if we move it on to, I'm thinking of something else now. I'm thinking about like my job, for example. Like in my job, I've been at quite a senior level in a part of my post, which has involved being, you know, delivering, you know, presentations, delivering information to people in front of quite a large amount of people. And I think the social anxiety part would be, you know, fear of doing that altogether. You'd work yourself up into such a state that you wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Being introverted, you probably would do it. Now, I know you've led meetings, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you can be introverted and still sort of push yourself to do things like that, things at work, because I, as you said, I'm in a more leadership position now. And, you know, I very much identify as having social anxiety and being introverted, but I am able to push myself, not always finding it very easy, but to push myself to, you know, be in those positions where I am speaking to people. You know, it's getting the motivation because I know that it's important, and also I know I'm good at what I do.
I think, as we said before, I get, before a social event, now a social event will take many forms. It might be going out somewhere, it might be work, it might be anything along those lines. And I think about some of the sort of so-called symptoms or signs of social anxiety, which could be applied to both being introverted and on the autistic spectrum. I think it's almost like it's a kind of fear of talking to strangers.
Mm-hmm.
I think we get physical symptoms.
Yeah.
Trembling, blushing. Maybe your voice shakes, or you've said something and you think, oh my goodness, I've said the wrong thing, or it doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
Famously, in one of these conversations, in fact, the earlier conversations we've done in there, I listened back to sort of episode 1 and 2 recently, yeah. And I say and quite a lot. And that's a little bit of anxiety about talking and knowing I'm in the right place, or knowing I'm on the right lines, because I know what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Sometimes the way my brain works, other people have commented on that I just have a different way of seeing things, or I work quite quickly, or the things that I know are really detailed, like I can pull out this statistic or this statistic.
Yeah.
Only on particular things, though. Like, I can't do it on everything.
Yeah.
So it might be that someone phones me up and talks about it and asks how to get someone on the bus,
yeah,
or what train to get or what line to get.
Yeah. I think as well, sorry, just to jump in, you were talking about sort of physical symptoms, which we've both experienced. But I also think there's a lot that goes on under the surface that isn't necessarily seen. So we've talked about, you know, the overthinking, the worrying, you know, all of that might not even be visible to the person you're with, but it's all going on, and that's all very exhausting and overwhelming and tiring. But that's not necessarily something that others can see happening, but it's happening sort of internally.
I think I'm just looking at another contribution from one of our listeners, and something comes to mind here. It's like, do you think you could be introverted without the social anxiety?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Because I'm reading through what this person said, and this person talks about not to go out to avoid crowds. They do like being invited to join friends, but there's comes a point where if you turn invitations down, the invite stops. So I read from this that this person enjoys some events.
Yeah.
And they may have a degree of social anxiety. But yeah, I'm just thinking, can you just have the introvertedness?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's a big question.
I think with autism, anxiety is a part of autism.
Yeah.
Because you see things like, if you have like things that change.
Yeah.
Parts of the routine change, or things are different, that manifests itself in a physical form, whilst the social anxiety part or the introvertedness, you just need to be alone.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether in particular, like, you can have that introvertedness without having the social anxiety. I mean, this person also talks about that she has to speak in front of crowds.
Yeah,
it's a part of her job, but they find it very difficult to be natural, and then they worry about coming across really awkwardly. And I really resonate with that.
Oh, absolutely.
That bit, because part of my work and one of my jobs, and you know, the forum there, even though I know what I'm talking about, is when I come to express myself, I do worry, right? I'm not looking at that person. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that, which then comes with, that's masking. It's wanting to be like the neurotypicals, but actually you can't be like the neurotypicals because of how you are.
Yeah.
I think that sort of brings together just how it is.
Yeah.
Because those three things that we've been talking about, the social anxiety, the autism, the introversion, it almost feels like there are people who are listening to this. They will identify with maybe one of those, two of those, or three of those. And it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter which ones you feel that you are.
Yeah.
Because you don't need a professional diagnosis, even though it's nice to have it.
Yeah.
But there's certainly a lot of value in diagnosing it yourself, because it's your live evidence base, as it were.
Absolutely. I think you can, as you said, identify with maybe just one of them, or you may be able to identify with all three of them. But it's about thinking about yourself, looking after yourself, giving yourself the time you need, and thinking about sort of self-care and your mental health and things like that.
And not being afraid to, if you identify with these things in your work, your social life, your personal life, it's having the courage and the conviction to ask for adaptations.
Yeah.
So if you have anxiety, it is worth talking to your employer.
Oh, absolutely.
About adaptions. One of my jobs in particular, I have a very understanding boss who knows about all of this,
yeah,
and they make really good adaptions as and when I need them. They're guided by what I want.
Yeah.
And where it can be fitted in, because I do realise that you can't have everything. Yeah. I'd love to be able to sit at home remotely all the time and work at home.
Yeah.
But that doesn't fulfil the needs of the job.
Yeah, yeah. And I also think it's important to talk to people in your personal life, you know, friends or family or partners, because it's not always the easiest thing to talk about. And I think sometimes when we talk about our anxiety and things like that, you can feel a bit embarrassed or you can feel a bit silly. But actually, it's amazing when you start talking about it, like we have, you realize how many people actually are very understanding of it. And as you said, will make adaptations, who will be understanding. And actually, the more you talk about it, the more you understand it, and the easier it gets.
Maybe that's an idea for a future episode. Ooh. Looking particularly at what adaptions we can ask for.
Yeah.
Or what adaptions maybe have already been made.
Absolutely.
For us, because then I think people may have the confidence then to ask for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
For themselves. I think, sort of summing up here, it's a bit of a minefield.
It is.
The social anxiety, the autism, and the introvertedness. I think the take-home message is that if you choose to get it diagnosed by a professional, there's a lot for them to get their head around. And it could be that you're diagnosed with social anxiety and autism, and you may consider yourself to be introverted. They just need to be, I think they take quite a cautious approach, and they look at not just the behaviours, but there's a quote here from psychology and neuroscience article from the Neuroscience Stock Exchange, which says, not just looking at the behaviour, but the inherent cognitive reason behind the symptoms.
Absolutely. And just to add to that, if you don't want to label it, you don't have to. So it may be that you want to get a diagnosis or you want to understand it more, but you don't need a label either.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for listening to episode 11 of Social Anxiety Live. Let us know what you think via the socials. And if you've really enjoyed it, please give us a 5-star rating on your chosen platform.
Yes, let's see if we can get to 1,000 listens. That would be amazing.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.